Good morning, everyone. Boy, do I miss you. I have a question for you. I'm sure you're used to that. Hands up if you've been feeling a bit stressed these past few weeks. Let's see them. Hands up. Yep, keep them up. And thank you. Quite a few of us. I read an article very recently that it's perfectly normal. It's even expected during this time that we may experience some unsettling dreams. Our subconscious, of course, is trying to process this constant underlying daily stress and anxiety. Even if we're not aware of it in our conscious waking hours, of the degree to which our body and mind is feeling the strain. I want to tell you about a time when I was under tremendous stress. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I had a dream, and I'm going to show you that dream using state-of-the-art, high-tech special effects. Are you ready? So there I was, in my Hyundai Pony, on a mountainside. The road curved around like this. It was fairly steep. My little car was, as they say, little pony. Here it was, little hatchback. Okay, there's my little car. I had, oh, this is sheer rock face. On this side of the road is sheer drop. Okay, getting a picture? I had let four people out of my car in this dream. They were all waiting here on a little flat area. And they were all screaming at me to hurry up and get my car up the mountainside. Problem, I had four flat tires. It gets better. If that wasn't stressful enough in my dream, it was snowing. So, I've got about, I'm gonna say, a foot and a half of snow. Four flat tires, four people further up the hill screaming at me to get up there because they're cold and they wanna go. And I can't go anywhere. That's a stress dream. That's the, this is impossible to get through dream. Dictionary says, stress is strain, tension, a force we resist. So something we push against. Stress comes when we are confronted by an overwhelming task, a situation in which we have no control, something that appears to be impossible. What causes you stress these days? Is it the lack of control? Is it the not knowing what's coming next? The news is changing constantly. Is it the enormity of the task for Canadians to flatten that curve they're always talking about? We want assurances from our leaders and our health experts. We want promising stats among the ocean of numbers that flood the news every single day. We want a date for when we can go out without a mask and hug our loved ones that are currently standing 6 feet away. We want some concrete facts that we can hang our hope on. Now we can probably relate to Thomas. How impossible was this for him? How stressed was he? His miracle-making friend, with all the promises, was now dead. Thomas is deeply confused. He has no future, no direction. He was a known associate of Jesus, so he could be taken away by the Roman or the temple authorities literally at any moment. He was confronted with this fantastically absurd tale that his friends are telling him, that Jesus is resurrected. The ground has shifted beneath him. He's no longer too sure about anything that he could believe last week. And he needs something concrete to stand on. He needs something to stand for. Christ's crucifixion has made his faith seem foolish. Thomas would have his proof. His dear friend would somehow enter a locked room, and Thomas would feel and see the holes through which God can make us whole. If we'll let him, if we'll trust in the impossibly real. Poor Thomas is known through history as doubting, as if he's the only believer who ever struggled with unbelief. We're post-Easter people. We know what happened at the tomb that glorious Sunday morning. And we can still have difficulty with possible and not possible. An elder on the session of my very first charge was worried that she shouldn't be an ordained elder for one point of unbelief. Whenever we said the Apostles' Creed, and that particular congregation enjoyed having communion every single month. And so every single month, she felt like a guilty hypocrite because she couldn't say the entire creed. She would fall silent when we got to born of the Virgin Mary. That one piece was not possible for her. She was comfortable with the rest of the creed. Sometimes the impossible is that way because that's how we framed it, because we've no other experience. Have you ever seen the movie The Princess Bride? It's one of my very favorites. Go get it. Check Netflix. The princess is called Buttercup. She is with her dearest love, Wesley, and they're being chased by a prince. It's a long story. Anyway, the only way to escape is to go into a place, a forest really, that's known as the Fire Swamp. It's a horrible place. Buttercup says, as they're racing towards this fire swamp, she says, "It's impossible. No one survives this forest swamp." And Wesley says, "Nonsense. You're only saying that because no one ever has. What do we think is impossible? We used to say, no man can run a 4-minute mile. We used to say that. We used to say, we'll never beat polio and find a vaccine. We used to say, there'll never be a black president. I used to say, I'll never be grateful for computers. And sometimes we still say, the Leafs have seen their last Stanley Cup. Never say never. I don't know if God's a hockey fan, but if our endeavors serve His will for justice and for blessings on earth, then anything is possible. Thomas had no experience of such a resurrection. He may have seen Lazarus walk out of his tomb. So he'd seen Jesus enact his power on someone else. But he couldn't imagine. It was not possible for Jesus to have that power still after his crucifixion and burial. Not for Thomas. His reasonable, logical mind rejected even the possibility. He needed proof. Faith in the unproven is very hard. Or at least, it can be very hard to explain. But is our faith without proof? Think about all of your answered prayers. Think about that. There's a woman in this church who prayed for her nephew's safety in his brand new car. He had a horrendous accident. I saw the pictures afterwards. The car was crushed. He walked away. It should have been not possible. And he's fine. I want you to think about all of the times that you have received a nudge or an actual word from God, His guidance, His comfort. The last couple of nights, I've been getting some pretty interesting dreams, not the unsettling kind that our health experts are telling us could very well happen during a pandemic, but messages that I know are the divine telling me it's going to be okay. One night, my dad came to me. He was as happy as I've ever seen him. The next night, my grandfather came to me. Again, thrilled to see me. Big hug. First hug I've had in a long time. Messages from the divine to assure us, prove our faith. What about random kindness and grace that you have received that you can't explain? What about the magnitude of inexplicable gifts in people for art, for music, for physical abilities, for maths and sciences, the way their brain works. And yet, they didn't seem to have any schooling for that yet. Think about the so-called random instances of coincidence. When just the person you needed to speak to happened to call. So-called proof of God's goodness is everywhere, even in a global pandemic. a few beautiful, kind women in this church are making masks because they want people to be safe. They don't want any reimbursement for the materials, for all the fabric and the elastic, for their time. They're just doing it because they want to protect people. Give the church office a call. We'll make sure the door is open and you can come and get one. I was talking to the storekeeper of an essential business. We ran into each other at the gas station. Well, ran into each other from 6 feet away, but we ran into each other. And she was telling me about all of the community support that she's getting. She told me about the number of people who have come by to say thanks with gift cards and boxes of chocolate and coffees from Tim Hortons, and somebody even sent pizza for them for lunch. Kindness and goodness is everywhere, and no virus can take that away. We are not asked to believe in the impossible. We are encouraged to be open to the obvious, to hope and engage in the possible. A vaccine will be found. We will overcome this virus with kindness and compassion and patience. For others, as well as for ourselves. And we will come together again very soon in His name. And we will celebrate His love in the sharing of it. Amen. As we come to prayer, I'd ask you to hold in your hearts and in your prayers through this week Beatrice Poole and Don Stewart and Anne Hamilton and Donna Carn, the Jones family, and all those who suffered losses because of this virus, who are in grief or sorrow for so many other reasons. Hold in your hearts the people who are anxious and in deep despair about this. Hold them up. Let's come to prayer now. Living God, generous in love and in comfort, we join in grateful prayer for your design and your intention for human community. May we learn by your Trinity's example of selfless, seamless relationship, and may we live in kind, honoring our God with inclusive acts of compassion. Thank you, gracious one, for every reminder that today you are active in the midst of all of life's experiences, whether calm and stable or chaotic and sad. Help us to remember that you do not stand at some safe distance apart from us, but you are unreasonably close beside us, our partner and our friend, and you are also within us, our peace and our strength for these times. Lord, we ask that you save us from discouragement when we wonder at the state of humanity and our responses to one another. Lift us up with hope and direction. Grant us assurance that even our smallest gesture or the tiniest change to our lifestyle may impact others with very real and wonderful blessings when we place our will and our endeavors in your hands. Lord, attend to our personal prayers as we offer the names and situations that fill our hearts. We rely on your grace, in your time, and in your ways unknown to us, to bring courage, relief, and protection into the lives of your children and the life of your creation. We offer all prayers with confidence in your love and in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. May we go in his peace. May we be sure of the possibility of all things in his hands and in his name. Go and share the love that first loved us. May the grace of God, the redeeming mercy of Jesus Christ, and the sustaining fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us and all whom we love, today and always. And together all the people said, Amen.